Bibles, if you would, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Read out of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read quite a few verses. I'll read verses 1 through 8, then I'm going to skip down to verse 18. Read through 27, and then I'm going to read chapter 22, verse 17. And if you're able, please stand and honor the reading of the Word of God as we get into His Word this morning. Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Look at someone and say, "He makes all things new." God don't halfway do anything. He does it all the way. Amen. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now skip down to verse 18, and it says, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the sea was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysolite, the 11th, a jace, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of their earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And I'm going to read verse 15 now of chapter 22 all the way to 17. It says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say," what do they say, church? "And let him that heareth say, and let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Bow your heads. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you Lord, for the promise of heaven, for the promise of eternal life, for all those that repent of their sins and accept you as their Savior. Lord Jesus, we come to honor you this morning. We're in your house. Lord, and we ask that you be glorified in our midst today. Lord, let everything that's said and done uplift your name, Jesus. We pray that this service glorifies you, Lord. Let all hindrances, all obstacles be rendered helpless. Lord, we pray that your anointing would flow and have free course. Let your spirit move in this service. Help us to receive your word with joy. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me, Lord, for without you I can do nothing. Lord, I need your anointing. I need your touch. So, Lord, touch me this morning. Anoint my lips that I might speak your word. Lord, and anoint our ears that we might hear your word. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this service. Have your will and your way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Would the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. But I want to talk to you this morning about heaven. It's a popular subject in God's word. You know, it's mentioned over 500 times. Heaven's mentioned in God's word. And yet, a lot of times, for many of us, we don't say much about heaven. Some of us may not even think much about heaven. I can remember as a child sitting in church and listening to the hymns, looking for a city. How many of y'all remember that hymn?
Amen.
Two of y'all remembered. Amen.
Amen.
Three. Praise God. Or meeting in the air. I know some of y'all remember that one.
Amen.
Yeah. Singing about heaven and the promise of that great city that awaits God's people. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. And I want you to understand as I begin that heaven is a real place.
Amen.
With real inhabitants. This is not, heaven's not a state of mind. It's not a feeling. It's not some imaginary fictional place that we thought up. Heaven is an actual literal place. It's just as real as the United States of America is. It's a real place filled with real inhabitants. And God has made every provision available to each one of us to be in that city. And God wants us to be there. But it's a real place. Paul talked about it. He was taken there. He said, I don't know if I was caught up in the spirit or if I was in my body. But he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, he talks about that. And John was taken there in a vision. And he talks about that in Revelations chapter 4 and chapter 5. And Hebrews, when you read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, you know what it says? It says, by faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. And I like what it says in another version there. It says, in tents. And I want to explain to you why I say I like that. It says, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's why I like where it says tents there. Because what it was saying to us in there in Hebrews was Abraham understood that he was a pilgrim and stranger. He didn't belong here. This was not his home. He was just traveling through. And so he lived in a tent. Because he said, you know what? I'm not even going to take up permanent residence down here. Because this is not where I belong. I'm looking for a greater city. Amen. Whose builder and maker is God. And everything I say, everything I do, every time I wake up in the morning, I wake up with heaven on my mind. Because that's where I'm going. That's where I belong. And that's where my home is. You know, if we don't realize that this morning, if we don't realize that we're pilgrims and strangers as children of God. Now, if you're not a children of God, then this promise of heaven is not for you. But it's for those that have repented of their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if we've done that this morning, then this is not our home. And we need to realize that this is not the end of our journey. This is not even the beginning of the beginning. God's got so much more for you and I. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, you know what Paul said? Paul said, for our citizenship is in heaven, which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understood that This world was not his home. Abraham understood it. And if we're going to be all God's called us to be, church, we need to understand it this morning. This is not our home. We don't need to set up permanent residence here. No, we need to be pilgrims and strangers. And we need to look to heaven every day, realizing that that is our eternal home. When I get to heaven, home sweet home can be hung on my place, because that's what I'm looking for, and that's where I want to be. How about you this morning? You know what C.S. Lewis said? I like what he said. He said, the Christians who do the most for this present world are precisely those who think the most of the next. If since Christians have began thinking less of the other world, that they have become so ineffective in this one. And I like what he said there, because it kind of mirrors what the scripture tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. You know what it says? It says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And if we don't understand that we're pilgrims and strangers as children of God here on this earth, our affections will not be on the things that are above. They will be on the things that are on the earth, and we'll settle down. And all our hopes, all our dreams, all our goals, all of our focus will be here on this earth rather than on the things that God has prepared for us in heaven. I want you to understand, if our focus is on this earth and all that we have or don't have here on this earth, or what we're seeking here on this earth, we have missed it, church. Because God has got so much better for us. And when we live with heaven on our mind, we can do so much more for the kingdom. I know people said, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I don't think that's a problem today. I think we got it the other way around. I think the problem is that we get so earthly minded, we're no good for heaven. We're no heavenly good. God wants us to live. He wants us to function in this earth, but he wants us to be with our heart and our mind and our affection set on that city and the things that he has for us and his kingdom. This world, I tell you what, you're never going to be happy. If you're looking for happiness in this world, it's not going to happen.
Amen.
I don't want to burst your bubble this morning, but if you're looking on this earth to experience a state of happiness, it's not going to happen. It's not going to last.
Right.
The only way we will experience the joy of the Lord is to set our affection on things that are above. That's the only way. You know, if we get to the place where we are like the world and we set up permanent residence and our focus is on the world and what's going on this earth all the time, we're going to be some unhappy people. We're not going to be able to enjoy all that God wants us to enjoy as his children and as his people. Let me tell you something. You can buy all the toys you want to. You can accumulate all the money that you want to. You can travel this world over two or three times. And you can do all the things that this world says will make you happy. And let me tell you something. At the end of the day, it's emptiness. It's all that it will bring you. That's why people commit suicide. Do you know that in this society that we live in America, I'm not talking about over in other countries. I'm talking about in America, in this country of great privilege and affluence, and where we have so much at our disposal, and we have so many conveniences, and we enjoy so many things, you know that suicide is an epidemic in our nation today? Did you realize that? It's not how much you have in this world that brings you happiness. It's not the things. It's the Creator. It's the promise. It's what He has for us. People get hooked on drugs and alcohol. You know why they get hooked on drugs and alcohol? Because they're trying to escape this world. But Jesus said, if you'll just put your hope and your trust in me and repent and accept me as your Savior, now then you can have your hope in me. And you've got a city that you're looking for whose builder and maker is God. And when things don't go our way and we're going through difficulties, maybe we're hurting in our body, we can say, oh, I know it may be tough right now, but I'm looking for a city. There's coming a day, and I'm looking for that day. My hope is not in today. My hope is into what God is bringing me to in that city.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us to be depressed. There's no reason for us to be discouraged. There's no reason for us to be disheartened if we are setting our affection on things above. Because God's got greater things for us if we are seeking Him. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Can I tell you that? I don't care who you are. Jesus went through trouble. Jesus said in John 16 and 33, He said, in this world, you will have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer. Because I'm going to fix everything and you're not going to have no more trouble. No. He said, because I have overcome the world. I've got something for you that can help you rise above your situation. Listen to me, church. God's got something for us. But some people, they get angry with God. They pitch their, they don't want to pitch their tent. They set up residence here on this earth. And so they get angry with God when things don't go like they think they should. And they get their fist and they shake it in up to God, up to heaven, and they say, if you love me, you wouldn't let me go through this. Ever heard that? I think we all have. Some of us, whether we care to admit it or not, maybe have even said that. But let me explain something to you this morning. If you're taking that attitude, or those that take that attitude, have set their affections on things below. Their hope is in this earth because Jesus has so much more for us. This is not the end of the story. You got to understand, you're on a journey if you're a child of God.
Amen.
You are not home yet. And everything you go through, God is preparing you for the next step in your journey with Him.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes that may be difficult. That may mean some opposition. Do you know what? When you lift weights, and I don't anymore, I maybe need to, I don't know, but I don't. But you know what? When you lift weights, it's the resistance that brings the muscle growth.
Yes.
And many people say, Lord, I want to grow closer. I want to grow in you.
Yes.
And then God brings the resistance. Mm-hmm. And they get angry. There is no growth without resistance. It's just as surely as picking up that weight set. You want your muscles to grow. There has to be resistance. And there's going to be resistance on this earth because God wants you to grow. He wants to prepare you for the next step with Him. But you got to be of the mindset where you say, I'm setting my affections on things above, not on things below. You know, Hank Williams Jr., he sang a song, made it real popular. You know what he said? He said, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. And I got news for you this morning. Heaven ain't nothing like Dixie.
Amen.
But you sure want to go. You don't want to miss heaven. Because God's got some great things. Heaven's not a dull, boring place. Okay? We need to understand that. It's a wonderful place. It's filled with joy. It's a place of celebration and worship. The best that this world has to offer does not even compare to the things that God has prepared for His children in heaven.
Amen.
We need to realize God's got better for us. You know what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says? It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Romans 8 and 18 says, Paul said this, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. God's got greater things for us. But you need to understand, I want you to understand this too. You're not going to stumble into heaven. You're not just going to stumble into heaven, and you're not going to enter into heaven on accident, and nobody's going to drag you into heaven. If you go to heaven, it's going to be because you have set your affection on things above, and you are a sold-out child of God who has repented of their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something. There's no other way to heaven than Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody else thinks or says about it, because God is the one who created all things and has all the power. And he said in his word through Jesus Christ, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what the Son, Jesus Christ, said. And that tells me that there's only one way. There's not many ways. There's one way. It's Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking that as I was preparing this message. I want to make this second point through this. But I was thinking about this lady who was in Sunday school class, and she had her kids in there, and she was teaching them a lesson on the gospel, on the plan of salvation. And she asked her young students, she said, if I sold everything I owned and gave all my money to the poor, would I get into heaven? And the whole class yelled, no. And she said, well, if I'm kind to everybody, and I love my family, and I help my neighbor, will that assure me that I get into heaven? And the kids yelled, no. And she said, well, what do I have to do to enter into heaven? And you know what? One kid in the back who was new to the class yelled, you gotta be dead. And I make this point to say this. If the Lord tarries, we're going to enter into heaven by way of the grave. Amen. And I think sometimes that's why we don't talk much about heaven. Because maybe to some of us, heaven is a mysterious place that we don't understand. But God doesn't want us to feel that way. Heaven shouldn't be a scary, mysterious place. It's our home. I heard about an epitaph one time. And on the tombstone, it reads, it says, remember me as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. Prepared for death and follow me. And a passerby came back and he scribbled on that epitaph, he scribbled a little note. He said, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. I want you to understand something. When we die, that's not the end. We're going somewhere. There is no purgatory where somebody can pray you out of hell. If you don't enter into heaven, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you open your eyes in hell, that is eternal. There's no getting out. And there is no situation where you just die and never wake up. There is no non-existent state. When you die, the scripture said in Hebrews 9 and 27, Jesus said it this way, or the word of God says it this way. It is appointed unto man once to die. But it didn't stop there. But after this, the judgment. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere, people. You hear me? And I don't care if you believe it or not. It doesn't matter. The fact that you don't believe in hell or heaven does not change the fact that it exists.
Amen.
I can say I don't believe in Nicholson, Georgia. Guess what? Nicholson, Georgia is still here.
Yeah.
I can say I don't believe that United States of America exists. Well, guess what? That doesn't stop the United States of America from existing. So the fact whether you believe it or not does not change the fact that it is a real, literal place.
Amen.
And when you die, you're either going to spend eternity with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in heaven,
right,
or you're going to spend eternity in hell.
Right.
Amen.
That's just the facts.
Right.
We need to understand that, because if we don't understand that, we can get confused about what's really important. You know what? All these things that we get so uptight about. I have to remind myself. Sometimes God taps me on the shoulder as pastor here. He says, let's refocus. Because those things you're thinking about and that has got your attention and has got you all tore up, let's pan out a little bit and look into eternity. And realize that those things that's got you all tore up in the grand scheme of things are not so bad after. That God has more, and there's better things ahead. And not only that, God doesn't just say, do the best you can, I'll see you when I see you. Not only is He preparing a place for us as His children, But he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. In other words, while I'm preparing a place specifically for you in heaven, I'm going to leave you the comforter.
Amen.
And he's going to be like your personal trainer. He's going to help you through every situation. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need to walk through it. He's going to give you the strength that you need to overcome it. He's going to give you the peace that you need to be able to go through it. I'm not going to leave you on your own and say, have a good life, I'll see you on the other side. No, no, no. He said, I'm leaving you with a comforter to help you through every situation. When we understand that all the little problems and all the little isms and the chisms in our life don't seem so big after all. Because God is able. God has all the power. He can do in a moment what we can't do in a lifetime. And even when we get through with this life, God's got even better for us on the other side. I heard this other epitaph. And this is the one. If the Lord tarries and I pass away, I want my tombstone. Because it says this. It says, here lies the body of old man Pease, buried beneath the flowers and trees. But Pease ain't here, just a pod. Pease shucked out and went to God. And I love that. Because it describes, in my opinion, in good old country boy terms, what happens when we pass on this earth. We just transition. We just transition. This shell that we're in now will be gone. But we will not cease to exist. We will just transition into our new glorified body. And I think it's a great illustration of that. But I got to warn you, if you ever try to use this, don't mess it up. Don't be like the old preacher that got up there at a funeral and tried to use it. And he said, here lies the body of old man Pease, buried beneath the flowers and trees. But Pease ain't here, just a shell. Yeah, there's no fixing it from that point on. But I want you to understand something, church. And we need to understand this as children of God. God loves us. And no matter what we go through, there's better. There's better. There's better. The enemy wants you to settle for where you are right now. Do you know what the children of Israel said in Ezekiel chapter 37 in the midst of the dry bones? They said, our hope is cut off. Our hope is cut off from us. We don't have any hope. Our hope is lost. They said, you know what? This is how it is. This is how it's always been. This is how it's going to be. And I'm just going to have to learn to deal with it. Well, let me tell you something this morning, church. God didn't come and send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and rise on the third day. The Holy Ghost didn't come down to be our comforter so that we could say, this is how it was, this is how it is, this is how it always will be. I just need to deal with it. That's not why he came.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord.
He's got better for us, church. And we need to be striving for what he has for us rather than settling and saying, oh, well, this is just how it is. There's going to be times of trouble. Yes, there is. But heaven should be a source of great joy and encouragement to us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3. You know what he said? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen. Amen.
Heaven's a special place, and you know what's so special about heaven? Heaven is a special place because it's where our Father resides.
Amen.
It's his house. It's his dwelling place. And when we understand that heaven is our Father's house, and we understand that the Lord Jesus went to prepare a place in heaven just for you, just for me, as his children. Let me explain something. As his child, the Lord Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place in heaven just for you.
Amen.
He didn't build a place for just everyone. No, he's got special places for us in heaven. That's how much care he took in preparing for us. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's where our rewards reside. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that passeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it doesn't fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for us. In Revelations 22 and 12, Jesus said, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. There are rewards waiting on us. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There's a crown waiting for us as children of God. And that's a special place, but you know what? That's not what makes heaven so special to me. Heaven is special to me. I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones who have gone on before me, who I love dearly, who I want to see again. I want to talk to my grandfather again. Had a great impact on my relationship with the Lord. Man, I love dearly. Look forward to seeing him again. But that's not what makes heaven so special. You know what makes heaven so special to me? Is that that's where Jesus is. Hebrews 9 and 24 says, For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. When I get to heaven, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to love seeing all the beautiful things. I'm going to love sitting down talking with my grandfather and the saints of old. But you know what makes heaven heaven is that Jesus is there. Amen. The one who was willing to be tortured and beaten, who bled and died on an old rugged cross just so I could spend eternity with him. Before I was even born, he was on the cross dying that I might have a chance to enter into heaven, that I might be able to repent of my sins and accept him as my Savior. That's what makes heaven such a wonderful place. My Savior's there. And when we get there, you know what? We're going to have a feast of the ages. Marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to sit around the throne of God and we're going to worship the Lord. And there won't be any more struggle. The struggle will be over. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I said the struggle will be over. When we get over there, there's going to be some things missing in heaven though. There's not going to be the curse in heaven. The effects of sin will be gone. There'll be no more jails or prisons in heaven because there'll be no more violence. There'll be no more crime. You won't have to worry about a shooter. There'll be no anything like that in heaven. There'll be no theft. There'll be no murderers, no child molesters. There'll be no drugs. Everyone will be in perfect peace and harmony, in unity. There'll be no strife and discord. There'll be no backbiting and betrayal. All that'll be gone. We'll be in perfect unity and harmony around the throne of God, worshiping him, praising him. All that'll be over. All the strife and the struggle will be gone. There won't even be any seas in heaven. You know why I believe that? He said that because there'll be no separation. There'll be nothing to divide us from each other. We'll be together. In unity, serving the Lord, worshiping him. There'll be no flashlights in heaven. There'll be no light bulbs in heaven because Jesus Christ will be our light. Amen. His glory will light up heaven 24/7. There'll be no hospitals. There'll be no nursing homes in heaven because there'll be no sickness. Amen. There'll be no pain. There'll be no suffering. We won't have to have surgery no more.
Right.
We'll have a new glorified body.
Amen.
Free from all sickness, pain, and disease.
Glory.
There won't be no walkers, no canes, no crutches. We won't have to wear glasses. No false teeth.
Amen.
No hearing aids.
Yeah.
Because you'll have that glorified body.
Amen.
The doctors and the nurses and the paramedics, they'll have to find them another job. Because they won't be needed in heaven. Won't be no need for CPR. Won't be no need for aspirin or any medicine. There won't be no cancer in heaven. There won't be no heart attacks in heaven. In heaven, there'll be no more funerals or cemeteries because there'll be no more death.
Amen.
No more tears of sadness. No more separation. No more sad goodbyes. Our saved friends and loved ones will be with us for eternity.
Amen.
But there's also something else that's not in heaven when my musicians come. There's also something else that's not going to be in heaven. There's not going to be any unsaved people.
Amen.
And that's what I want you to understand this morning. If you don't hear nothing else this preacher said, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't repent of your sins and accept Him into your heart, I don't care what book you, what other book you read says. I don't care what other preachers may say. I'm just going to tell you what the Word of God says.
Amen.
There's only one way.
Right.
And His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there'll be no unsaved folk in heaven. There'll only be the redeemed of Christ. Standing around the throne, kneeling around the throne, casting down their crowns, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, is to come." Stand with me.
Hallelujah.